Hello and welcome back to Flylife's F1 podcast. I'm Ethan Evans, joined today by Adrian Keeter and Kit O'Callaghan. And we'll be previewing Imola. But first of all, guys, Hamilton versus Verstappen seems to be that it could be an ongoing talking point this season. Adrian, do you think we finally have a title battle on our hands?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, what we saw with Verstappen and Hamilton in Bahrain, last time we saw the race weekend go on, it was intense. Obviously, Verstappen got it on pole and then nearly converted it, but got off track. But if that mistake wasn't to happen from Verstappen, I think he was more or less going to win that race. Red Bull do look like the fastest car this season, without a shadow of a doubt. So I think this is probably the best chance of us having a title fight in a while, really. We haven't. Hamilton's obviously been smashing it for a while now, and Verstappen has finally closed in with Red Bull having a competitive car. So, without a shadow of a doubt, I think we've got a really close title race this season.
Yeah. Judging by what Adrian has just said, he said Red will have the fastest car. Would you think that makes them favourites, or do you think the Lewis Hamilton still has the edge?
I wouldn't call them favourites just yet. I do agree with most, if not all, of what Adrian said. I do think, you know, from the evidence we've seen so far in the testing and obviously race one, it is pretty clear that Red Bull are the quicker car this year. But you can guarantee Mercedes will be doing absolutely everything they can to sort out any of the issues that they found or just find a bit of extra pace. They'll be working, you know, around the clock to make sure they don't lose their unbeaten run in the modern era. Also, we saw the problems that Verstappen had in Italy last year. All of the Italian races, really. Italy really did not like Max last year. So I think it was a DNF for the race for Imola. So hopefully that won't happen again. I don't want to jinx anything by saying that we've got a really exciting title race on this year. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut about title race hopes. But certainly I do think it will be a closer battle than what we had last year.
Adrian, jumping back to you, given this is Verstappen's first title challenge, do you think he has a temperament to challenge someone of Lewis Hamilton's prowess?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Obviously, like I've been saying, Max is going to be hungry, with obviously being in reach of reaching second place last season and obviously winning the last race of last season. He's definitely going to be wanting to prove a point that he can, with the car, with the backing of the machinery behind him, can challenge someone like Hamilton. And he will be hungry. He will be chasing Hamilton down for the whole of the season, I think. And if obviously he doesn't have those unlucky DNFs or machinery fails him, I think he can definitely push Hamilton to the final hurdle, maybe even going to a final final race title decided. We never know, but it's looking good for Max at the moment.
Shifting attention then to the constructors, where it seems to be a very, very similar story, Red Bull versus Mercedes. As you've both mentioned, Red Bull clearly have the quicker car, but last time out the race strategy cost them. And Kit, do you think that because Mercedes is such a well-oiled machine that makes them favourites?
Yeah, I think Adrian was touching on it. Reliability is going to be absolutely crucial this year. It could potentially come down to a last race decider. As Adrian said, we never know. I don't want to talk too much about, you know, ifs and buts. But certainly reliability will play a key part, because if you think about it, you know, 25 points is up for grabs, or technically 26 with the fastest lap bonus point every race. If you crash out or you have a reliability problem, your engine breaks, whatever it is, Verstappen obviously very unlucky with a few issues last year. He has three issues this year, 75 points going straight to Mercedes, and the constructors pretty much guaranteed. You know, those are the only two cars that really look like they're going to be winning the races. So reliability is crucial, and Mercedes have just been so, so good in the last few years. You know, absolutely brilliant. Hamilton's car is, you know, goes wrong once in a blue moon. Bottas had a couple more issues than Hamilton did, but that seems to be ironed out for this year. I know they've both complained bits and bobs about the car, but nothing major. I can't see any serious breakdowns going on. However, that being said, we've seen issues in that Mercedes garage in the pit lane, haven't we? You know, we'll all remember last year with George Russell and the unfortunate events of Bahrain. So if they have anything like that happening again this year, then, well, it's completely up for grabs for Verstappen to pinch it.
And Adrian, do you think that it was announced this week James Allison is leaving his full-time role as technical director at Mercedes? Do you think that will have a big impact on Mercedes? He's credited as being one of the driving forces of Mercedes' dominance in the turbo hybrid era.
Well, yeah, it's most likely going to affect him in some way or another, but we can't go without putting it past them that they have been a well-oiled machine, and I'm sure they will find a worthy replacement. But, I mean, they've got the machinery that they've got this season. I mean, it hasn't shown its best, its true colours that it did last season. It's been a bit of it's level with Red Bull, or even below Red Bull ever so slightly. But going back, James Allison will be missed in the Mercedes, obviously, garage and with the cars. But they've got to find a way of the replacement. And if they can do that, then I think they will continue their dominance. But if they can't, then it's going to be a bit of a dampener on Mercedes, really.
Just to complete this this discussion, let's talk about the second driver battle, as you wish. Bottas against Perez. Kit, who do you think has the edge on that? Obviously, Bottas has underperformed over the last couple of years. Perez has been Mr. Consistent. Do you think this is the time for really Red Bull to say, all right, Perez, go and show us why we brought you in?
Certainly is. I mean, neither of their seats are secure for next year. We know how savage Red Bull are in changing their drivers. You know, Pierre Gasly, Albon, you just ask them. It's obvious. And Christian Horner is all about competitiveness. And if Checo isn't delivering, he will be dropped, simple as. And we've got that big debate over who will be driving that Mercedes next year. I've seen some big names in F1 think that both Hamilton and Bottas will be leaving, and potentially a Verstappen-Russell partnership. I can't see that happening. I think that is a bit far-fetched, but it is looking like one of those two drivers will be leaving. So it's now or never, really, for both Checo and Bottas. I think they've both got a lot to prove. Bottas has been underperforming. I don't know if you guys have seen the most recent Drive to Survive, but there was a brilliant episode where Bottas kind of spoke about his passion to really succeed and how he hates being number two. And he's got to show that passion to be victorious this year. He's got to take some points off Lewis. And if he doesn't, I can't see him being a Mercedes driver for next season.
Well, I think we'll get to Zach Brown's comments later on in the episode. But Adrian, what do you think about the Perez Bottas saga almost? Do you think this is going to be an ongoing discussion like the Verstappen versus Hamilton, or do you think one of them is going to be closer to the top two than the other? Oh, I think we've lost Adrian there, so I'll ask you the same question then, Kit. Do you think this is going to be an ongoing saga between Bottas and Perez, or do you think this is just going to be or do you think one of them can close the gap to Hamilton and Verstappen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think their battle is going to be crucial. You know, touching on what I've just mentioned, both drivers are in a very perilous position this year. They need to perform. Christian Horner is not afraid to drop second drivers. I mean, he wouldn't be afraid to drop Verstappen if he wasn't as good as he is. I don't think anyone's going to drop Verstappen when he's performing the way he does. But Christian certainly isn't a sentimental man. He's all about performance. So if Checo isn't delivering on the results that he got last year in that racing point, then he will be dropped. It's as simple as that. And I've already spoken about Bottas and how important this season is for him, both on a personal basis. He hates being number two. He's made that very clear. but also on a professional basis. Toto Wolff needs performance. And you've got a fantastic young driver in George Russell, who's absolutely nipping, had a brilliant last season. We saw what he could do when he got in that car. Obviously got unlucky, but he did overtake Bottas. Yes, Bottas had a dodgy set of tyres, but we've seen how good Russell is. And I don't think Toto Wolff is going to be too concerned with dropping Bottas if he doesn't perform.
Adrian, I think you're back now, are you? Yeah. What are your thoughts on the second driver battle between Bottas and Perez?
Personally, I think it is very, very interesting. I mean, you've got, like you've said, you've got Perez, Mr. Consistent. But like Kit mentioned previously, that Christian Horner and Red Bull they'll be having a look at Perez over the course of this season. But if he doesn't perform like your Albons, like your Gasly's, they're not gonna shy away from just dropping Perez and finding another replacement. I mean, you do have to factor in that he does have to get used to the machinery, which is fair enough. But obviously, we saw that drive back in Bahrain, which saw him finish fifth, starting from a pit lane. I mean, it's fantastic for him.
Yeah, I think that was just about the perfect start you could have got. Looking on down the rest of the field then, is there any standout battles for you, Kip?
I think the midfield battle is going to be a brilliant one. Again, I mean, McLaren are looking so, so quick this year. Racing Point, now Aston Martin, they've got two fantastic drivers with them. Lance Stroll, young driver, but I think he would have gained a lot of experience from last year. He has got a bit of a weight on his shoulders with his dad owning, the team, or a large share of the team at least. And I mean, what a driver. What a driver Sebastian Vettel is. So, three-time world champ, he's obviously had a terrible season, terrible outing with Ferrari, and he's going to be wanting to turn that around. Yes, he had a disastrous first race. No one will deny that, but it's one race. There's, another 22 to go, I believe. So, he's got plenty of time to turn that form around. And I think he will. He is a world champion, multiple world champion, and he has the experience. He's got a cool head on his shoulders. He'll know that. Not to take too much from the first race.
Do you think the pressure is on now for Vettel? Because, he had that bad season at Ferrari last year. And it's kind of at the stage where if he doesn't deliver at Aston Martin, then his legacy in Formula One could be called into question. I think you can write off the 2020 season as a bit of an outlier in the career of Sebastian Vettel. But 2 years in a row, he underperformed. Does that start to say, beg the question, is Vettel past it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as we've already mentioned, F1 is a savage, savage game. Drivers will get dropped left, right and centre if they're not performing. And it isn't a sentimental sport. Sebastian Vettel is a brilliant driver. No one will deny that. To get three world championships, you need to be a brilliant driver. You don't win them by accident. Or potentially you'll get one by accident. But to win three shows consistency. So, yeah, he had an awful season last year, and I think that can be put down to being a bit of a blip. The Ferraris were pretty dreadful last year. He obviously found out very early on that he wasn't going to be driving with Ferrari for the future, and he was picking a new team. So he had a lot of personal issues going on, as well as the technical difficulties that he was having with the team and with the car. So this season is absolutely everything. We know how quick those Aston Martins can be, or at least should be, based on last season. And if he doesn't perform in what should be at least the fourth fastest car on the grid, then I think his legacy will be brought into question. People will start saying maybe he's past it, maybe he's too old, maybe he's lost his touch.
Yeah, most definitely, I think. As with every driver, this seems to be a monumental season. Like we've already spoken about Bottas and Perez and the future of their career if they don't have the best season. Verstappen, what will happen with him at the end of the season? Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso. There's countless examples up and down the grid of drivers under pressure to perform. As as they should be, to be honest, because, you know, as we mentioned, they are 20 of the best drivers in the world. So
absolutely, there's a lot of drivers with a lot to prove this season. I think obviously every season you've got drivers wanting to win and wanting to do well, but this year's really, really exciting. I think the cars are closer, they're more closely matched. You've got two rookies in the Haas, one of which, of course, Michael Schumacher's son, Mick. So he's got a massive weight on his shoulders. I don't think people are going to be expecting him to live up to Michael's standard, especially not in his first season, but people will be expecting a lot from him. You know, carrying the name Schumacher is no easy weight to carry, and people will be expecting him to perform. I know he's in a Haas, but they'll at least expect him to beat Mazepin, the other rookie. And Mazepin, I don't think he's going to want that at all. You know, he's obviously come into a team from F2, same as Mick, but racing, having Mick as your teammate is probably not brilliant in Mazepin's brain, if you know what I'm saying, because obviously Schumacher's got so much media hype around him, the sponsors love him, they've got German sponsors for this year, Haas, so everyone's going to be focused on Mick. So Mazepin's going to really want to upset that, but there will be a tight rivalry, both of those two. I'm really excited to see where that goes this year. George Russell as well, he's got a lot to prove, had that outing in Mercedes last year, so he's going to really want to get back in that Mercedes seat, and therefore this season is crucial for him, in Mercedes' decision, at least, whether they drop Bottas, whether they drop Hamilton, whether they drop both of them. You know, there's a lot of people and a lot of teams with a lot of decisions to make this year, so it's going to be an incredibly exciting season.
Yeah, most definitely. Just touching on the point you made about Mazepin and Schumacher, would you argue that for Mazepin, it could be a blessing in disguise because Schumacher's got all this media hype and attention around him? If Mazepin goes ahead and beats him, could you not argue, say, all right, maybe the focus should be on Mazepin, not Schumacher?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, if anything, it does potentially take a bit of pressure off his shoulders because he isn't really the driver in focus. You know, Mazepin, people will think, oh, he's just been brought in for the money, he's not a very good driver, et cetera, maybe the seat should have gone to someone else. So he's got a lot to prove in that sense. But yes, driving with a Schumacher in your team as your teammate, it does take a lot of the limelight, if you will, away from you. So potentially not as much pressure on his shoulders, but I don't think that's going to take anything away from his drive to want to be successful. And as you said, if he does end up beating Mick, then that limelight will certainly be shared, if not more focused on Mazepin.
Yeah, most definitely. Moving on to something you alluded to earlier about Zak Brown's comments, and for those who don't know what we're talking about, Zak Brown, the CEO of McLaren, recently said in an interview that he thought Verstappen and Russell would be the partnership at Mercedes in 2022. I don't think he has any inside knowledge on that. Adrian, now that you're back and recovered from internet crisis, what do you think about his comments?
Well, I'm hoping that the internet crisis is finally reached an ending because it is slowly killing me. I've only had a bit of a glance over the Zak Brown comments, and obviously, He spoke that it could be a rumour, that it could be a possibility that Verstappen and Russell could be at Mercedes next year. But I think he's just chucking a bit of a spanner in the woodworks. I don't think that will happen. Obviously, Red Bull and Christian Horner will want to keep a hold of their star man. George Russell is a likely possibility to be at Mercedes, but I don't think if they're replacing both and going for Verstappen from Red Bull, it's a bit of a sticky one, in my opinion. But I mean, if that does happen, they've most likely got one of the strongest lineups secured for 2022. But I just think it's a bit of rumours, a bit of fun from Zak Brown. But likely Will it happen? I don't think so. It's very unlikely.
Here, we've I know on this podcast we've spoken a lot about George Russell, and we sort of kind of think it's a dead certainty to happen that in for next season it looks like he's going to be at Mercedes. Do you think that's a bit too presumptuous, or do you think that it's well placed and that it's only a matter of time until we see George Russell in a Mercedes again?
Potentially is a bit presumptuous. I mean, nothing is set in stone in F1. We've seen that from the driver swaps. I don't think people would have been expecting Alex Albon to disappear from Red Bull as quickly as he did at the start of the season. But yeah, he got a bit unlucky at times. Lewis taking him out, you know, never really getting that podium until far later than he should have got one. And then the performances just weren't good enough. He had a few crashes in qualifying and in races for that matter. After Checo's brilliant drive in Bahrain, the second Bahrain race, where he went from the back of the grid to end up winning it, that was sort of the nail in the coffin for Albon. And who could have thought that was going to happen at the start of the season? So nothing is set in stone in F1. I don't think there was ever a definite driver staying, driver going situation, and certainly not for George Russell. I would love to see him in a Mercedes, and I think he would be well placed. But if they decide to keep Lewis Hamilton, I think Lewis Hamilton will be given a lot of weight over the decision, over who he wants to come in as his teammate. And I'm not entirely sure he would want Russell to come in. I think it would be a bit too competitive for Lewis's liking. And even Toto Wolff and the Mercedes head honchos, they've all made it very clear they do not want any repeat of the rivalry that Hamilton had with Rosberg. And Russell was an incredibly competitive driver, and he'll want to win world championships, especially if he goes to a top team like Mercedes. So could there be a repeat of the bitter rivalry that we saw with Hamilton and Rosberg, but with the younger George Russell? It could happen.
I would argue that the settling in period for Russell would be a sufficient amount of time that Hamilton wouldn't be challenged. Even now, I do think Hamilton would relish that challenge. He's not one to shy away from a competition. But Adrian, I think you said a minute ago that you don't see Verstappen move into Mercedes. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Mercedes do think, okay, we're going to completely refresh the system. We're going to bring in Russell and one other. Who do you think that other will be, if not Verstappen? Do you think we can see one of the McLaren drivers, maybe even possibly Pierre Gasly?
Well, I really don't know who they could possibly bring in. Everybody's dream would be George Russell and Pierre Gasly. Obviously, Pierre Gasly, we've spoken a lot about Pierre Gasly on this podcast. I don't think we need to carry on speaking about Pierre Gasly because he's just rising through the ranks. And if he was to be paired with George Russell, that would be a complete refresh to the system, which I don't think many people would see. But I personally think that if they were to get someone, they'd probably get somebody of Gasly's stature. Maybe I don't want to say Ocon, but we've seen the relationships he's had with Toto. So Ocon could come in. We've obviously seen Van Dorn, Nick De Vries could be a possibility, Hulkenberg. It's all up in the air. I don't know. But if George Russell was to be paired with one of them, I'm sure GR would come out on top, because I personally think he's already used to that seat. He's already used to that Mercedes seat from just one race. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the Mercedes situation. But yeah, I'm sure their Hamilton's and Bottas replacements will be good replacements.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Ocon now, that because I don't think he's still on Mercedes' books. Now, as you said, he's got a good relationship with Toto Wolff. Toto Wolff kind of made that deal to Renault possible in the first place to progress Ocon's career rather than just paying as a reserve driver. But it's an interesting point. I do think it's unlikely to happen, because I think Mercedes isn't kind of a team that Ocon is skilled enough for. I think Ocon's not one of those drivers who's going to go out and dominate a race, or has shown no signs of that in the past. Not to say he won't in the future. But, all right, so moving on to the driver market then for 2022. Let's start off just for the purpose of this segment. We're not going to be speaking about the Mercedes drivers because I think we've already covered it quite a bit. First up is Max Verstappen. Now, he is actually signed on for Red Bull in 2022, although he does have a performance contract in his Red Bull contract, which basically states that if he doesn't feel that the team is progressing to the standard that he believes will give him a championship challenging car, he can opt to move teams. So, do we think that's likely to come in effect, or do we think Verstappen's pretty much nailed on for 2022? Adrian?
Personally, I think I saw Kit nodding his head that he might be going somewhere else. But personally, I think that Red Bull have progressed. We've obviously seen their car has progressed from the opening race. We don't know what will happen for the rest of the season. But personally, I think that they have made steps in the right direction to become a title-winning car. And I think for 2022, he will stay at Red Bull.
Kit, do you echo Adrian's thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. I was only nodding my head to agree that I think he'll be pretty much signing on. I mean, Max is Red Bull's star boy, isn't he? Let's be honest. Horner absolutely loves him, and he's sort of been the one to keep Red Bull competitive and pushing Mercedes as much as they have been. So, Adrian's just pointed out that I said signing on. Obviously, he's already signed. That's what the whole point of us talking about this is. The point is, I think Verstappen is there to stay for at least another year.
What about his teammate, Sergio Perez? He had a good start, you could say, although he disappointed in qualifying. Do you think he's going to stay on as well, Kit?
We've spoken a bit about Perez already. It's absolutely going to be based on his performance. Red Bull is a pretty brutal team, but you've got to hand it to them. They operate a fine system, most of the time, although that is often down to Verstappen rather than the other driver or the team's decision to keep the other driver, for that matter. I think if Checo performs as well as he was doing last year in that racing point, he brings that sort of performance and that drive and that real anger, you know, that frustration that he had to go from the back of the grid and then to be able to turn that into a first place. If he can show that sort of drive to be successful and to win races at Red Bull, then he's going to go far. I think he could be there for the foreseeable future.
Adrian, do you think that Perez is there to stay, or do you think potentially Alex Albon could come back into the fold?
Yeah, I completely echo what Kit just said. It will be down to Perez's consistency. It will all depend on whether he can match or be close to Max Verstappen through qualifying and through the races. From the first race, as we've already spoken, he did a stellar drive from the pit lane to finish fifth. So it will be down to consistency, but I think Mr. Consistent will have decent performances throughout the rest of the season. And I think Christian Horner and Red Bull will keep him on for 2022.
Do you think the goal for Perez is to keep up with Verstappen, or is it to beat Bottas and for Red Bull's second driver to beat Mercedes' second driver, Adrian?
For Perez, he will definitely be wanting to push for Verstappen's level, most likely, and without a shadow of a doubt, he will be wanting to push Bottas and potentially be better than Bottas this season. We've already spoken that Red Bull are looking very strong, and if Perez can perform at the level that Verstappen is performing so far, then I think he will be beating Bottas, and That's what Red Bull will want. They want two favourites at the front of the grid, so they can potentially win their first constructors championship in 7 years.
And Kit, moving on to someone we've briefly mentioned earlier in the episode, Pierre Gasly. What happens to him next? Because he's kind of at a crossroads at this point in his career. This is now, I think, his fifth season in Formula One, I want to say. Fourth with AlphaTauri. Do you think he moves on? Or do you think he continues to make this team his own? And if he does move on, where does he go?
Well, he's been quite outspoken about his disappointment, really, about being dropped by Red Bull and going into the AlphaTauri team. But he has dealt with it well, and he has been putting in performances week in, week out in that AlphaTauri team. So he is going to want to be in a more competitive team. I think he personally feels that if he was in a more competitive team, he can win races, potentially even world championships if he does get into one of those Mercedes or Red Bull seats again. And he is going to be, yeah, absolutely hungry for that. I think we spoke a bit about Verstappen and potentially how he might not be at Red Bull for the next few years. He might change teams. If one of their drivers was to change teams or was to get dropped, Red Bull I'm talking about here, I could see Pierre making it back into one of those seats. I don't think Red Bull are going to be too up and tight about putting him back into the team. I think they are very much a non-sentimental team. It is just about performance. And if he consistently demonstrates his performance, and if he's consistently grinding out brilliant results for AlphaTauri, there's no reason that they wouldn't put him back in the seat. It is literally just going to be down to who's performing the best. And if he's in the top there, then absolutely, I can see him going back to Red Bull and winning races.
Adrian, do you agree? Do you think life for Pierre Gasly remains in the Red Bull setup, or do you think he's going to go elsewhere?
Well, we briefly touched on this when we were doing our 2022 predictions, if I'm not mistaken, with Gasly, and we put him in Alpine. With Alpine, they're already trialing their 2022 machinery. They're already getting prepared for 2022, which could suggest that this is a transition year for them. Which, I mean, it will be interesting whether Verstappen and Perez do stay on at Red Bull, because Pierre will be wanting to challenge higher up at the field, at the top end of the field. So I think maybe a potential switch to Alpine, or if he is willing to stay at AlphaTauri a year longer and waits on the situation of Perez and Verstappen. But I think he might do a cheeky switch to Alpine, make that a team of his own, and then maybe jump into a seat of a Red Bull caliber. Maybe Red Bull will be wanting to go for him then when he delivers for Alpine or even a Mercedes. But I think, like we spoke a few podcasts ago, I think he might do a cheeky switch to Alpine.
Yeah, I remember that actually a lot more clearly now. I think the allure of Alpine is quite great. It's an independent works team. The Fernando Alonso is looking like he's going to be there next season. I don't think Alonso comes back into the sport just for one year. So the chance to partner Alonso at a French team as well. So there's that connection there. But I think, yeah, I do agree. Gasly is, I believe he's more likely to go to a team like Alpine than to stay at AlphaTauri. I can't see him going back to Red Bull, personally. Moving on to Lance Stroll. Now, one would think this would be something that's very simple. He's just going to stay on at Aston Martin because obviously his dad owns the team. But if he was to hypothetically perform as he did last year, where he did the job, but he was far from convincing. He was certainly outperformed by Perez. Adrian, back to you. Do you think Lance Stroll has a future if he doesn't up his level?
No, I mean, with Lance Stroll, it's a difficult one. His dad does own the team. But if he wasn't to perform, who will be wanting him? If he wasn't to sign on with Aston Martin and his father going, nah, you can go elsewhere and find and battle somewhere else. A Williams, maybe? The back of the field? I'm not quite sure, but it will all depend on whether he can perform. We've obviously seen the Aston Martin not perform as well as we think it should have at Bahrain. But it will all depend on whether Stroll can score consistent points and whether he can. I mean, it's going to be hard not to believe that his dad doesn't want him at his own team. So I think he will stay at Aston Martin next season.
Kit, do you have anything you would like to say about Lance Stroll, or do you echo
it? Yeah, well, I can't see him moving. You know, he's only 22 still. He's still young, and he's got a lot of development to make. I really think that he could be a very competitive driver in the future. If they bring in some experienced drivers, I mean, I think the reason that Vettel, the biggest reason that they brought Vettel in was to help Stroll. You know, his dad, Lawrence, is going to want Lance Stroll to perform. He's going to want to see his son winning world championships. Of course he is. That's every dad's dream, to see your son winning world championships, or at least to win some races. So they've brought in an experienced driver. So hopefully Lance can learn as much from Sebastian Vettel about winning world championships and how to do it as possible. And he'll take that into the future. I genuinely think the future could be quite bright for him. I know that might be painful to hear for us here at Fly Live. There's been some quite ambitious opinions about Lance Stroll going on throughout the season, last season that is, but I genuinely think he could be a very successful driver in years to come.
I am quite interested about them bringing in more than one driver and keeping Lance Stroll on, to be honest. Yeah, I think you said in that explanation.
I don't think I said anything about that. I said I think they bought Vettel in to help Lance Stroll. I don't think they're going to bring in another driver.
They're bringing in more experienced drivers.
I think in the future, so Sebastian Vettel was obviously not going to be at that team forever. He's getting on. He will be retiring, you know, within the near future, I imagine. So for the future, I'm talking about, you know, next 5 years, say, I can see them bringing in experienced drivers instead of rookies.
Okay, there we go. There's the clarity. But moving on to Kit's favourite driver on the grid, Esteban Ocon. We've spoken earlier on, potentially the Mercedes link is there should Toto Wolff want to promote him. I do think it seems a tad unrealistic. But say we are completely correct and that Pierre Gasly moves to Alpine, what then for Ocon? Is he out of sport? Is he going to go down to a team like Alfa Romeo? What happens to Esteban Ocon? Adrian, sorry.
Well, I mean, it will be difficult if we do predict that Gasly does go to a team like Alpine. Why am I saying AlphaTauri? Alpine. Obviously, just to clarify, I wasn't saying that it's likely that Ocon will go to Mercedes. There's obviously different options there for Toto Wolff, but I'm just saying there's the link that Ocon has got with Toto Wolff. It's hard because, like we said, Alonso isn't likely going to be in the sport for just one season. It would be bizarre to come back just for 1 year. And with Gasly, if he does make the switch to Alpine, Ocon might well lose his seat like he did at Force India / Racing Point / whatever you want to call it back in the day. So yeah, I think ultimately, if Gasly does make the switch to Alpine, Ocon might lose his seat for 2022.
Kit, anything you'd like to add about your best friend?
I just don't think he's shown enough ability, enough aggression, enough drive to win. I just think he's been too mellow. Everything about him is underperformed. He's always just been happy to be second. He's always just he just doesn't have that racing driver quality, or at least I haven't seen it during his time in F1. You know, he could quite easily disappear for a year and you wouldn't even notice he's gone. He's just one of those drivers that doesn't really, his name doesn't really come up. You just don't notice him in a race, unless it's for negative reasons. I don't think I've ever seen a moment of brilliance from him. He finished, he got a podium, didn't he, last year? I think he finished third, or no, it looks like I'm wrong. Adrian's looking confused, but he certainly had a good race last year. I'm trying to think. It was when Ricciardo and Ocon, and no, Adrian's saying he did. I'm sure it was Ricciardo first and Ocon third. But Adrian, you have to bring Adrian in after this because he's going crazy at me on the mic. Point is, I think he's had one lucky good moment, and other than that, he's just been far too inconsistent and not good enough for me. So I can't see his future in F1 being too long.
No, I would definitely agree that he's been far too inconsistent. But I think you were on about when he came second in Bahrain, when Sergio Perez.
Thank you.
From the back of the grid. You're welcome. I would say that. Well, I mean,
I'm sure he came third when Ricciardo won his race. Sorry to butt in.
Ricciardo hasn't won a race.
Oh, no. Okay. He didn't win last year. Yeah, I'm having a mare.
I think the reason you say he could go missing for a year and people wouldn't really notice is because he did. I think 2019, after he was dropped by Force India at the time, and before going to Alpine, he was Mercedes reserve driver. But I would argue when he was at Force India, he was being very competitive with Sergio Perez, who we have been speaking about in this podcast as being a very bright light for Red Bull and potentially competing with the likes of Bottas, Verstappen, maybe even Hamilton. So I think this is a make or break season for Ocon. I think he has the potential. He has all the resources there. It's just whether or not he can really assert himself as a future star. But moving on to someone else who is having a year out currently, Alex Albon. What do we make of him then? Because I think not very... I think this was probably the most cut and bone dry of the decision of the season last year for Perez to come in. Kit, what does the future lie for Alex Albon? Because he's only 23.
Yeah, he's another young driver for sure. Although I don't even know if we can really refer to them as young drivers anymore because they seem to be getting younger and younger. You know, just look at Yuki Tsunoda coming in. But I think Albon has got potential to get back into F1. I think any driver has got potential to get back into F1 should they show enough ability. But it will come down to the ability and the passion. If he keeps up to date and, you know, stays in contact with people in F1, obviously he's got his agent and people to do that for him. But he basically needs a good agent. I don't actually know who his agent is. I'll have to investigate that matter. But as long as his agent's phoning up the head honchos at F1 and saying that he's still interested and he still wants to get back in, then I don't see why not. But it will be a case of performance, the performance of the current grid, how they were doing, and whether a seat opens up.
Adrian, what do you think is going to happen for Alex Albon next season or after that?
Well, I completely agree with Kit. It's just going to be about availability. I mean, he's said that he's ready for what the future lies ahead for him at potentially Red Bull. That he's ready, that he's going to be fighting for a seat in 2022. But with the likes of Yuki Tsunoda, and if we're going with
the Alpine movement of Pierre Gasly. Maybe a seat in AlphaTauri is fitting for Alex Albon once again. But it's going to be hard for Albon to find the man.
Oh, I think Adrian has suffered some more internet issues. But moving on to someone who's somewhat been forgotten. Obviously, he had a couple of great moments last season, but Nico Hülkenberg, do you think he's going to be back on the grid anytime soon? He was recently announced as Aston Martin's reserve driver.
Yeah, and Mercedes as well, which he's had for a while. So he's got, you know, a decent reserve spot lined up, you know, being good cars if he is called upon. And with COVID still around, you know, absolutely, he's got a chance of getting a race in this year. I don't know personally if he'd ever get a seat for a full season again. You know, it's a difficult one. You can't really call it. There's probably a lot of names that would come up before him in a team meeting in the queue. But I don't think any teams would write him off as an option. Certainly, it will come down to whether he can get himself a race or two this year, if you know, if conditions are right, and obviously a driver goes down with COVID or is unable to race. But it's a difficult one because obviously he's not really doing anything this year other than being a reserve driver. And if he doesn't get any races in, then what have the teams got to base performance off? They have to get him in for some tests, and you know, there's a lot of drivers looking to get tests in.
Adrian, I think you're back now. What do you think about Hülkenberg and potentially a way back into Formula One?
For Hülkenberg, it will be hard. Like I've said, with drivers that aren't currently in Formula One, it will be hard for them to find a seat because they're not doing anything in particular that teams can really focus on. I know Alex Albon is doing touring cars alongside Liam Lawson, but it's going to be hard for Hülkenberg to find a way back into this sport. I think it might be done and dusted for Hülkenberg. I don't think he will have a chance to come back. It will be extremely unlikely unless, like you said, maybe Aston Martin. But it'll be hard for Hülkenberg. Maybe if he was to replace Seb Vettel, if Vettel was to leave sometime in the future, but it will be hard for Hülkenberg to find a seat. And I don't think there will be one for him in 2022.
And what of the one of the only three teams that haven't announced drivers for 2022 yet? Alfa Romeo. Do Giovinazzi and Raikkonen stay on? Does someone like Callum Ilott come into the equation? Adrian's getting very animated, so I'm going to go straight to him.
Ilott, thank you very much. Please, sign, seal, delivered. Thank you very much. That guy deserved the seat for Haas instead of Mazepin. Mazepin snatched it off him. Thank you very much. If Alfa Romeo give the seat to Ilott, dream come true. Honestly, that guy deserves the seat. After becoming vice champion in F2, yeah, he came second. He came second in F2 last season. Yeah, vice champion. Yeah, fair enough. Coming second in Formula 2 last season, he's disappeared kind of thing. But I believe he is Ferrari's test driver. But if Alfa Romeo do let one of their drivers go, Callum Ilott, I think he will pounce on that opportunity, and I think he will secure a 2022 seat if Giovinazzi or Raikkonen were to leave.
Do you think Alfa Romeo will stick with the same lineup for, I think, what will be the fourth year in a row by that point?
I think if any of them were to leave, it would be Raikkonen. Alfa Romeo, Italian team. Ferrari, Italian team. Giovinazzi, Italian driver. And first Italian driver in F1 for a while, actually. Trying to think who the last one was. I did know it. It was on the top of my head. But I had to do a bit of Googling. But I think they will keep Giovinazzi. I don't think he's even been that bad, really. I know we sort of had a bit of a bone to pick with him last season. He was very inconsistent on a Saturday, but he did get those paces back. And I do think he had a few good moments. Some of his overtakes were very clean, very, very good to watch. And I think he's got a lot of development, yes, to go before he can start really cementing a seat in F1. But I don't think he's sort of done anything so badly wrong that they're going to be considering changing him, especially for an F2. Well, obviously, it'd be a rookie. Callum Ilott, brilliant driver in F2, but another rookie in F1 over Giovinazzi. I think they'd side with Giovinazzi.
And just before we go on to our predictions, I have got a new concept idea for the show. This is the tester session. So I'm going to give each of you a topic. So this is completely unscripted. Neither of you know what the debate is going to be about, but you've got 30 seconds to argue your case and basically convince me on who is right. So the topic today is going to be who's going to win the title this season, Hamilton or Verstappen. Now, Adrian, you're arguing the case of Lewis Hamilton, and Kit, you're arguing for Max Verstappen. So, Adrian, you go first. Argue for Lewis Hamilton, and your 30 seconds start now.
Well, with Lewis Hamilton, you've obviously seen his consistency through the whole time he's been in F1. Obviously, record breaking after record breaking. I think the streak will continue, and he will get the 8th world title. We've seen his defending abilities. We've seen the car that he does have this season, and he was able to defend from Verstappen. So I think if he does continue to do that this season, I think he will get the points that he needs and he will
stop. Okay. And Kit, arguing for Verstappen, and your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Right, it's got to be Verstappen because, and I'll give you a list of reasons right now, he is a phenomenal driver. He's shown his ability year on, year out. Absolutely incredible. He is hungry for a race win, well, for a career win, which would be, of course, a world championship. And the way he's going to win that is with Red Bull, and it is this season. He's got the fastest car. He's shown his ability with the car. He knows the thing inside and out, and he will deliver. Stop, I promise you that.
Stop.
I set an alarm as well. That was mine going off.
I think I'm going to have to give it to Adrian. I think you tripped over your words a couple of times there, Kit. So I'm going to give that to Adrian.
Powerful words. His was waffle. It was all waffle from him.
Waffle. Lewis Hamilton being a what? Lewis Hamilton defending the championship.
Each point you made, Kit, you could argue the exact same thing for Hamilton. He's been there.
I argued it with passion. Adrian didn't mention it, so you have to only take into equation what you heard.
Okay. Well, I'm taking into account what I heard, and he's been there a long time. So has Hamilton. He knows the car inside out. So does Hamilton.
I agree that Hamilton is
Red Bull star boy. Hamilton's a Mercedes star boy. So I would argue, due to the lack of uniqueness in the points about Verstappen, I think that hindered.
I meant to say? Oh, he's from Holland, so he's going to win a world championship.
You could say over pre-season testing and in the first race, Red Bull have shown themselves to be in the quickest car. Now that he's got,
Now that
he's got a quick teammate to support him at the front of the field, he's got a better chance to challenge the Mercedes and take them head on. So,
how does a quicker teammate?
He's got a quicker teammate.
Yeah, but how does a quicker teammate mean that he's more likely to challenge Mercedes?
Well, he's not.
I'm not sure about this. I think our listeners at home will have to get in touch. And
well, anyway, I'm not arguing the case for it. You're arguing the case for it, and I wasn't compelled in the same way I was compelled by Adrian's case.
Disappointing.
So, anyway, moving on to the predictions for this weekend's Imola Grand Prix. So I want both of you to give me your qualifying and race top fives. So I'm going to go first. So my top five for qualifying has got Verstappen to clinch another pole position, Hamilton to line up alongside him, and then Perez, Bottas in three and four on the second row. And I've gone for Charles Leclerc to come fifth. He's shown himself to be a very, very good qualifier. The Ferraris look a lot quicker this season, and I just think Leclerc's got the raw pace. And Kit, I'm going to come to you first for your qualifying predictions.
Okay, a difficult one, to be honest. I'm kind of in second thoughts about this, but I think I will back Lewis to pip Verstappen, even with the disadvantage of Verstappen having the fastest car. So I'll go Lewis P1 for qualifying, Verstappen P2, Bottas P3. I'm tempted to just give it a clean sweep for say same as Bahrain, but is that being boring? I think Lando could get P4 again. You know, that McLaren is rapid this year, so I think I will have to go Lando P4, and I think I will side with you and go Charles P5, because as you mentioned, he has shown his pace on a Saturday, and he is a phenomenal driver. In terms of the race, I think Lewis will get the win, even if he's unable to secure P1 at qualifying. I think Verstappen 2, I'm going to go Lando P3, Bottas P4, and difficult one between Charles and Gasly, I think, but I'm going to go for Charles P5.
Did you not have Perez in either of your top fives?
Actually, that's a good point. I completely forgot about Perez. I was thinking about Lando.
I just asked for the qualifier.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, to be fair, Perez, I want to put Perez ahead of Charles. I want to put Perez P5.
For qualifying?
So
just run through your top five for qualifying.
Right, okay. So I've backed Hamilton, potentially wrongly, but I've backed Hamilton P1, Verstappen P2. I'm going to go Perez P3, Bottas P4, Lando P5.
Okay. Just your qualifying for Imola.
So I'm going to back Verstappen lining up on pole position, then Hamilton alongside him. I'm going to go with Sergio Perez in P3 with Bottas in P4, and I'm going to go with Charles Leclerc in P5 for qualifying. In the race,
not the race.
Oh, okay. Just back. There we go.
Just qualifying.
I jump the gun with the race a little bit. I do apologise.
I think both of you need to open your ears a little bit.
My internet keeps on cutting out. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough. You have an excuse then. So for the race, I've gone for Verstappen to clinch a victory. I think he's going to go one better than last weekend. Hamilton just to miss out. I've gone for Perez and Bottas in P3 and 4 because it is a very difficult overtaking circuit. I don't think there's going to be too many positional changes. And I've gone for Lando Norris to get another top five finish. I think that McLaren, as Kit said, is looking very good. And I don't think Ricciardo's quite at the stage yet where he's ready to push on and get those top five finishes, just because he's still settling into the new team, which will take a few races. But yeah, I'm going for Lando Norris to finish P5. And Kit, just run us through your order again.
I'm really having second doubts about Hamilton, putting Hamilton first, because I know that Verstappen's got the faster car. Okay, I'm going to go Verstappen P1. I know I've gone back on myself. I'll go Verstappen P1, Hamilton P2. Perez 3, Bottas 4, and Lando 5, which I think is pretty much my qualifying order, but swapping Hamilton and Verstappen.
Okay, and Kit and Adrian, sorry, your top 5?
I'm going to go with Verstappen getting the win, Hamilton in P2, I'm going to go with Bottas in P3, Perez P4, and I'm going to chuck Lando into P5.
So all the same, I think, for the race there. So we'll be back next weekend where we'll be reviewing the Imola Grand Prix. So we'll see how correct our predictions are. That one is most likely to be hosted by Izzy, but not too certain on that. Thank you guys for listening along. We hope you agree with our opinions we'll see you in the next one, and thank you for listening. Bye.